Well, even if you're not interested in knowing your own genome, would you put it out there for the benefit of others? That's the intent of the Personal Genome Project, founded by George Church. George Church is Professor of Genetics at Harvard Medical School.
The Personal Genome Project is the only project in the world that I know of where the world gets open access to information about genomes, environments, and traits in human beings. Everything else is either proprietary or is closed or only addresses a tiny component.
In other words, companies are looking to patent what they find.
Right. I mean, companies can still patent what they find in our database. We're not anti-company, but we are open access so that everybody has an equal chance, because you don't want to patent things that are present in nature. You have to add value to them. So we provide a way that people can see the consequences of certain environments and gene combinations, and they can get an insight into precision medicine as it emerges.
Tell me how it works.
What was revolutionary about this particular project, in addition to providing open access, in order to provide open access, we realized that most medical research, especially genetic medical research, was making potentially disingenuous or false promises about privacy, because if you're going to be sharing the data, there's a chance that the data will get out of whatever vault you're sharing it in and then get re-identified. So that combination of escape and re-identification means that you shouldn't be promising privacy to research subjects. I mean, you could still promise it to the public, but the research subjects should be selected as individuals who understand the risks and feel that the benefits outweigh the risks and are willing to be identified. I mean, we don't necessarily have to identify them, but they are willing. They've signed up for that and they know what they're getting into. And we provide an entrance exam that they have to get 100% on, and it's intended to work for a broad population.
So who participates?
Anybody who's over 21. It's now international, so that basically anybody in the world can participate. They have to get educated a little bit up front. It's only 20 questions, so it's not hard to get that. But it basically, instead of giving you a consent form that you just sign without reading, it walks you through it and makes sure you understand all the nuances of the risks and benefits.
So these are people who, for entirely altruistic reasons, are willing to have their genome analyzed and then published.
Not just their genome published, but their medical traits, their medical records, standardized questionnaires, behavioral, cognitive, just a whole vast and growing number of human things that make them individuals.
So if I took part, what would you be asking me to divulge to you?
Everything that is of medical significance and many things that are not medical but make you unique. Things like the facial morphology is of interest to not only medical interest, but for identification and jurisprudence and forensics.
And how many people have taken part so far?
There are now a number of international groups that are just, well, I don't know the numbers. We have about 2,000 participants that have gotten 100% of the exam and have put some of their traits online.
And had their genome?
So we have about 200 full high-quality genome sequences available online, and we have about 500 that are genotyped in some sense or another. And an increasing number of people are coming to us that already have their genome information from some other source, and we do quality control on that and put it online.
And do you give them their genome results?
So for the ones that don't already have it, we'd give them the genome results, and we give the whole world their genome results, and we provide interpretation tools as well, so it's not just a bunch of random letters.
So a medical researcher in Italy who's interested in the relationship between facial tics and heart disease,
right,
could go into your database and see whether or not there are genetic correlations.
Right. Yes. In principle, you could make connections between environment and traits without even touching the genetics, but the most powerful one would be when you use all three together, and it is international.
And does anybody need permission to use it?
No, it is like Wikipedia. It's intended to be for anyone who thinks they can contribute. It's not for us to judge whether some person in India who doesn't have all the credentials might actually be a genius with a computer and really can make a huge contribution. So rather than us judging that, we just let everybody contribute.
Who funds the genotyping?
It's privately funded. We've had all kinds of generous government funding on technology development, but the coalescing of the data and making it public and all the social, ethical, legal is done either on a volunteer basis or private donors.
And has anything come out of it yet that you're proud of?
are social things that come out. We've enabled studies. I mean, like Wikipedia, it's not about us. It's about all the uses of it. It's enabled journalists to communicate on it. It's enabled competitions where third parties have posed questions. Can you tell what, say, the lipid levels this person is just looking at their genome? And because it's all open, or what we can do is we can keep some of it closed until the competition is over, but we enable that because we know eventually it will be open. And so there's a few competitions.
So you're crowdsourcing solutions.
And they're using us as well, yeah.
George Church is Professor of Genetics at Harvard Medical School and has a remarkable laboratory working on synthetic biology, where he tries to understand the complexity of life by literally creating new organisms, sometimes made of new chemicals. Certainly no stranger to controversy. He's also developed cheaper, faster and more accurate technologies for decoding DNA and building new DNA molecules. We'll have the link to the Personal Genome Project on our website. That's the Health Report via abc.net.au/radionational, abc.net.au/radionational. I'm Norman Swan, and you can hear The Health Report three times each week. On Radio National, you can hear it on Mondays at 5:30 in the afternoon, on Tuesday mornings at 5:30, I'm sure you get up early, and if you want to hear it on Saturday mornings, you can go to ABC News Radio, and it's on at 11:30 Eastern Time, so 8:30 in WA and whatever the time is in your part of Australia.